And joining us, the guy that would like to be our next governor, we have Ryan Bussey. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be here.
The original release I saw that you'd thrown your hat into the ring, you gave a reason.
Well, I've got a lot of reasons. I'm really worried about the ways in which the Montana that I love is being threatened. It's being made unlivable, I think, for working people. I'm concerned about the housing crisis. I'm concerned about the cost of this stuff. I think that our current administration is hell-bent on making this into a playground for billionaires, limiting access to things like our public lands and upending our public schools. And frankly, I'm worried about that, and I would like to see us get back to a place of sanity.
Mm. You know, I was in Butte over the weekend, and I noticed that they don't seem to have workforce shortages in Butte. We went to a wonderful steakhouse, and there were just all the people they needed to operate this thing, and it was full of people. And why do we have trouble here in the Flathead, and they don't seem to have trouble in other parts of the state? I don't see it in Missoula. I don't see it in Butte. I don't see it in Spokane.
Well, I think, you know, obviously these sorts of things hit different communities a little bit differently in each place. But I think working people across the state, they are struggling. It's tough. It's when the average home in Montana now is $460,000, and our entry-level teachers are 50th in the nation in pay, make about $34,000. That, you know, that just doesn't pencil. And then we have a governor and a supermajority who raise property taxes on every single home in this state. And I heard the governor here last week, and I don't know how else to say. To say this other than he was lying to you guys about the way this tax increase happened. The tax increase was coming down the pike. The supermajority was warned about it. The governor was warned about it. They let it go through. They rushed to give huge tax breaks to corporations like Northwestern Energy, which, by the way, made $986 million in 2020 and paid their South Dakota CEO $3.4 million. Yet they got a huge tax break. But all the homeowners in Montana got a huge tax increase. That was very purposeful. That shifted the tax burden. That made this problem a lot worse. Everybody's rent is going to go up because of it, because rental houses don't qualify for any one-time rebate that they have. So this was a purposeful thing, and I think it's a dangerous thing for the Montana that I love.
What's the end game here that you see?
I think the end game is to cause enough pain on Montana homeowners that eventually we accept a regressive sales tax. Gianforte and several people in the Republican legislature are on record as saying they want a sales tax. And for anybody in Montana right now that makes less than about $90,000, that sales tax is going to be regressive. It means it's going to hit you hard because people who make that living, it sounds okay, right? But people who make that living spend an inordinate amount of the money that they make on the things that they have to buy, and those things would be taxed. People who make a lot of money, the wealthy, spend relatively less on the things that they have to buy. So that's why it's a regressive tax, and I think that's the end game. They want to make the tax pain on all of us hard, you know, bad enough that that they can push through a sales tax.
Yeah, one of the things that we seem to be most critical of, most people you talk to them and say, you know, nothing gets done. The legislature, all they do is talk. Nothing gets done. Congress, all they do is talk. Nothing gets done. They argue. They bicker. And this last legislative session, the supermajority and the governor got some things done. How do we get things done without having them just mowed over us?
Well, we've got to get the right things done. We spent, I think the last session was an embarrassment for Montana. The few good things that passed, like I'll take, for instance, Bill 442, which basically redistributed the marijuana tax to counties to help with road maintenance and wildlife conservation projects. 87% of the legislature voted for that, including lots of Democrats voted for it, lots of Republicans voted for it. What happens? Gianforte vetoes it. Now every county commissioner in the state is fuming mad at Gianforte because something good that got done he wouldn't let through. I don't understand why. There's some sort of Koch brothers, big money, billionaire mentality, I guess, that says state government can't do good things for the people of the state. I I just don't buy that. The county commissioners are in open revolt. Almost all Republican county commissioners are in open revolt over this tax thing. He's blaming it on counties, on schools. That's just pure hogwash. The state did this. Gianforte signed it. The supermajority pushed it through. The counties and the schools had nothing to do with this tax increase. And for them to blame it on schools and the counties, I don't blame the county commissioners for being hot about it.
Yeah. Now, I asked him, is it a percentage or a fixed amount? And he said, well, it's complicated.
It's not complicated. That's a lie. The tax rate is set by the state, and the budget committee came to the supermajority and the governor, and they said, look, if you don't do anything, like all past governors and legislatures have done, if you don't do anything, every single homeowner in this state is going to get slammed with a tax increase. And Gianforte and the legislature looked at it and said, oh, well, I guess we'll let them get slammed. We're too busy giving big tax breaks to these corporations. Mm-hmm. Meantime, I don't know if you noticed, did Burlington Northern, which got a big tax increase, did the shipping rates on grain go down? No. Northwestern Energy, which got a huge tax increase, did your power bill go down? No. In fact, it's going
decrease.
Up by 9.4.
You said increase or tax decrease. Break.
Yeah, they got a tax break. Sorry, they get a big tax break. Yeah. Is your energy bill going down? No, it's going up. So I don't know what the people of Montana got for this. I know that corporate bottom lines got a lot, but I don't see that the people of Montana got anything out of this.
Now, as far as the tax mills and all of that, that's... going on, what could be done?
Well, they're bringing up this mill thing and all this diversionary complexity to take our eyes off the ball, the simple fact that they pushed through a property tax increase. We have to fund our schools. It's constitutionally established the way we're doing it, and it's so bad that this property tax increase is so bad that the counties are now in open revolt about it. They're basically saying, well, we're going to try to go around what the law is because you guys jacked up prices or you guys jacked up taxes so high. That's how bad it is. That's how egregious the tax hike is. And for the supermajority, people like Greg Hertz and people like our governor, to try to hide behind the complexity of this mill thing is, I'm sorry, but that's just gibberish.
Okay, now the local counties... set the taxes, the state collects them, keeps some, sends it back in the form or for services locally. But the thing that is kind of crazy is the marijuana initiative initially earmarked money for education that would go into that, and instead it's been swept into the general fund. Isn't that where the overage of the taxes go before they send them back to us?
Exactly. It all goes into the general fund. And so this blame game that the governor has played with counties, again, I don't blame them for being frosted, right? The governor says, well, it's the counties and the schools that did it. By law, the counties can barely raise taxes at all. And as of a couple days ago, as far as I know, no county in this state had raised taxes one iota. So the blame game that the state, that the governor and the supermajority are saying, whoa, it's the county's fault. Wrong, wrong, and wrong. The state did this. They knew it was coming down the pike. They shifted taxes to homeowners, and here we are.
I guess the thing that we've talked about taxes, and that's just one, I think, issue that you are running on. First of all, is in the act of governing. And that's the other part of it. Winning elections, that's one thing. Governing is something quite different. How are you going to govern differently in order to get things done?
Well, I think we've got to get back to a place where we care and act and govern for the people of the state. This last legislative session, we saw culture wars. We saw bickering. We saw all sorts of diversionary stuff. And meanwhile... did our teacher salaries get fixed? No, we have 1,004 teacher vacancies across this state. I grew up outside of a little town of 640 people. I graduated with 16 kids. I know that every single rural school in this state depends on public, well-funded public education. Without it, the town starts to wither, and the opportunity for kids like me withers as well. And we've got to get to a place where we focus on the things that make our lives and our Montana way of life possible instead of tearing them down. And this idea that we're going to run a legislative session where we just talk about ways to hate each other, I just don't understand that. The analogy I use is, you know, growing up on a ranch, when you drove by somebody broken down in the ditch, you didn't stop and ask them 14 questions about how you could hate them. Like, what color are you? Who do you love? What do you? No, you just stopped and helped them fix their tire and hopped back in your truck and went on your way. It was a live and let live place. And I think Montana has to get back to that. We can't allow this hatred and diversion to usurp our lives.
Ryan, you were an executive with Kimber, which is a very popular handgun here in Montana. You wrote a book, Gunfight, and talk with us a little bit about, I want to make sure that everybody understands your position on guns.
You bet. Hey, I grew up with guns. Many of the best parts of my life have been spent with guns, hunting and shooting with my dad and my grandfather and my brother and now my own boys, which I do all the time. I was just hunting with my youngest son Badge 2 times this weekend, which I love. I spent 25 years in the firearms industry, and most of that was a dream for me. I got to be around the things that I love, and I sold lots of guns, you know, between 2 and 3 million guns. And yet, and so those things are all true, and I continue to be a big fan and a huge supporter of the Second Amendment and our right to own guns. And at the same time, I think we have to admit that there's a bunch of irresponsible actions with guns that responsible gun owners should not be okay with. This marching up and down the streets that we've seen in the last few years with AR-15s to scare kids or people in businesses, that's not responsible. This idea that we can just look the other way when horrible things happen, that's not responsible. And so I'm really calling for a reestablishment of the social norms that I grew up with. And because I think that's what responsible gun owners should do. So I'm proud gun owner and also really ardent champion of responsibility. And I don't like it when radical people overtake or try to change for the worse something that I love. I saw some of that happen in the firearms industry, and frankly, I see some of it happening in our state right now. So I'd like to get us back to a place where we can all be reasonable and responsible.
Ryan, you haven't run for office before that I know of.
Could you say that again?
You have not run for office before that I know of.
Hey, I think he's thinking that may be a qualification there. Yeah. Yeah.
So who do you see as the people who are going to vote for you to make you governor?
Well, look, I think I run up against, you know, folks that are friends, my neighbors, and we know there's lots of people who voted for Greg Gianforte that live in the town where we all live here in Kalispell. But I don't think there are a lot of people that are okay with turning our state over to a bunch of billionaires to make this place hard for us to live, to see things like Chico Hot Springs sold and Holland Lake being upended and, you know, big resort put down there and huge ranches locking up our access and our homes and our places to live and our towns becoming so expensive we can't live here. And so to me, this is not a partisan thing. Lots of people in my family are Republicans. Lots of my neighbors are Republicans. Lots of my friends are Republicans. And I share lots of common values with them. And so I'm here to be a governor for real Montanans, not for whatever this moneyed out-of-state interest that's changing our state is. I don't like it, and it scares me.
So how are we going to get that message out?
That's why I'm here talking to you boys.
All right.
Well, it's the beginning.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting campaign. There's no question about it. Yeah. What's your standing with the Democratic Party at this point, the state party?
I don't think I'll have serious primary opposition. I'm running as a Democrat because I believe in the values of the Democratic Party. At the same time, I will tell you, I'm not a cheerleader for the National Democratic Party. There are things that I think coastal I use the pejorative term in the air quotes here. I'll stick my fingers up, right? Coastal Democrats, sometimes the way they message or don't message or the things that some of them stand for, that's not the Montana Democratic way. I'm here for, you know, working folks in the Montana culture that we all love. And I think Montana Democrats share that value. And I believe that the vast majority of people across that state share it too. And the fact that we haven't won or frankly, we've lost a bunch of statewide elections recently. Democrats have, and that's because people aren't proud enough. They don't know how to lean in and message. They're not sharing our values. They get bogged down in these culture war issue things, which those things just don't interest me. Those are diversions for me. I care about making our state a better place. And so, I'm running as a Democrat, and I think I have very good standing with the Montana Democrats, but I want to emphasize the word Montana there.
Yeah. And this is a very expensive proposition. It's going to be an expensive proposition.
So they tell me. Yeah.
Well, it will be. How are you going to deal with that?
Well, look, Greg Gianforte, in the last election, he wrote himself about $7.5 million in checks of his own money. So we know what a governor's seat cost. It cost $7.5 million. Gianforte bought it. The campaign finance laws of this state are very clear. I can only raise about $1,000 at a time from individuals. That's a low limit. That's not a low amount of money for anybody, but that's a low limit for a campaign across the country. So we've got to buy back the state from a guy who's got unlimited funds, and we got to do it 100, 200, 300, 1,000 at a time. That's the most that can happen. And I'll tell you, in just barely 3 weeks, already over 2,000 people, I looked at last night, like 2,050 something, have already contributed to our campaign and signed up. We raised $175,000 in 17 days. I can tell you people are fired up. They're worried about what's happened in our state. They want to get back to a position of sanity. They want to protect our public schools and our public land access. They want to get back to a more fair tax system and a place we can live, and so do I.
Well, this is, I hope, the first of many conversations we have with you going forward.
Hey, it takes me 4 minutes to get down here. You guys tell me you got coffee on. I'll just zip down and we can chat.
Well, we got coffee on starting at 6 a.m., so there you go.
All right.
All right. Ryan Bussey, thanks so much for spending time with us, and thank you for for being so candid with us on your views.
Hey, that's one thing you can count on from me. I'm always going to be direct, and I think we owe it to people to be direct, so thanks for having me.
You betcha.